The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate you taking us in however you're taking us in this morning. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. What's happening?
Not much, man. Not much. There's like a rogue walkie-talkie going on behind us right now. That's really distracting.
We were just breaking down the essence of that name. Yeah. So that stuck. What do you call that device? Walkie-talkie.
So great. One of my favorite stand-ups ever is the Brian Regan stand-up on the walkie-talkie. You can just watch the two-minute YouTube right now. It's hilarious.
So great. All right. This is such a great time of year as the run-up to the NFL draft is coming. We will talk to we'll talk to Frank Schwab about that. I have added a bet this morning. We'll get to that momentarily. We'll talk to Frank Schwab from Yahoo about the NFL draft. Jason Weingarten will be here to talk all of his bets. Nick Whalen on the NBA playoffs, which after the two elimination games tonight begins in earnest tomorrow. Paul Carr in the Premier League. How about some UFL with Stormy Bonatoni?
Yeah.
We're covering it all today. Stormy on the table? Is she calling on Skype?
Okay. Yeah, on Skype.
She's calling on Skype. Okay. We'll do all of that. We'll update the Guardians bet as well. We have to start with the NFL draft movement that happened this really overnight regarding the number two pick in the draft. And this involves my boyhood team, the Washington Commodores. Jaden Daniels, at one point yesterday, the Jaden Daniels, Drake May, who will be the second pick in the draft market, who will be the number two pick in the draft, was minus 115 on each side.
Yeah.
Got to that.
Saw that here at Circa. I think I saw someone tweet out minus 110 each way over at DraftKings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it got exciting last night.
Well, I didn't think I was going to make any more bets in this NFL draft after my flurry earlier in the week, but guess what? I just bet Jaden Daniels minus 125 at Caesars this morning to go number two. Why the steam? Let's start there. Some are speculating that it's because Daniel Jeremiah said something specifically that he's personally leaning towards the Commanders drafting North Carolina quarterback Drake May over Daniels. So maybe that was the movement. I think it's more perhaps what I was talking about earlier this week about Jaden Daniels' agent liking a couple tweets, one from Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, the other from just someone chiming in on that one a little more harshly about how Adam Peters and the Taco Holders brought in four quarterbacks all at once, amongst a group of 20, by the way. But besides Bo Nix and Caleb Williams, they brought in the other four remaining quarterbacks that are speculated to perhaps go in the first round at the same time. And Florio didn't like that. And Jaden Daniels' agent liked the tweet about that, you know, criticizing it. He also then, it was also reported then that Jaden Daniels met with the Vikings thereafter as well. So I think if you put all those three things in, mm-hmm. including the Jeremiah comment, because people do pay attention, as we had Vegas Refund, Luke Swain on yesterday, he reported back about the Jeremiah news conference. People obviously pay attention to what Jeremiah has to say. He's like the E.F. Hutton of the NFL draft. And so put all that in the mix, and it moved dramatically because Jaden Daniels was over a $2 favorite to have gone number two. And then all of a sudden, here we are near a pick'em, even though Daniels is just a tick of a favorite now. And Kelly, I feel like in all this discussion about this, because people are speculating, because what are people looking for? The mainstream media guys like Peter Schrager, like Adam Schefter, they're all using the language of my intel says, or the signs that I'm hearing around the league that I'm picking up on is that Washington is going with Jaden Daniels. So the mainstream guys are still using that kind of vague language. And I'm hearing folks this morning saying, you know, they're not sure what's going to happen. I feel like in all the discussion on this, that one major point is being left out. And that is a human one more than a football one, which is that if you're Adam Peters, and I get it, you have no history with this franchise and you have a new owner and supposedly you have carte blanche to pick whoever you want at number two. But a human characteristic is that as much as you want to do something that succeeds, you are equally, if not more, motivated by not doing something that will be a failure and the repercussions that come with that failure. Now, that's not to say that no matter who you pick at number two, if it fails, you're not going to have repercussions. But I am here to sort of offer this as my take on it, which is I think in the end, Adam Peters is either tacitly or verbally, but I'm going to say it's going to be unspoken. I think it's going to be tacitly. He is going to make the calculus that if I pick Drake May and that fails, and or Jaden Daniels becomes this great player for another team, that the repercussions of that for him personally starting out as the new GM of the Washington football team is going to be that much worse than if he picks Drake May and that happens to fail over time. That if he picks Jaden Daniels and that happens to fail over time. Because I think with the if you pick Jaden Daniels and that fails, you can still fall back on, well, he won the Heisman, he's multidimensional, played for a bigger program. I think there's ways to talk yourself through that and overcome that more cleanly than you could if you took a little bit more of, dare I say, a reach, let's put that in relative terms, on a guy like Drake May. Not to mention that even though Adam Peters doesn't have history with this franchise, that he has to be well aware of the muscle memory of that fan base, which is, well, when we last had the number two pick and picked a quarterback, a gentleman by the name of Robert Griffin III was outstanding, was the rookie of the year, and until he got hurt, was everything you could have possibly imagined him to be. And the flip side of that is the last North Carolina quarterback that they drafted just a couple years ago. Well, let's just say Sam Howell wasn't exactly in the Hall of Fame. So I just want to I put all that in the mix for me, and I think the motivation of that fear and that precipitous drop of credibility, if it goes wrong, if you pick May and it goes badly, I think that's as much of a motivating factor in all this than anything. I think Washington is going to take Jaden Daniels, and I bet it this morning at -125.
I'd hate to think that if I just hired a new GM, that that's their attitude, but you know it's got to be in the back of their head a little bit, right?
We're all human.
I think the big one with that, like the way I would almost spin it is because I think we've seen this more recently with guys like Justin Fields. Jaden Daniels' legs are going to be a weapon enough that his rookie season, even if the throwing doesn't develop right away, it buys you more time as a GM, right? Like, I think that's the whole Justin Fields thing. Once we saw him running the ball, you're like, whoa, okay, he can get it done on the ground. Let's give him a little time for his arm to develop. And I think Daniels bails you out a little bit more in that sense than what Drake May does, right? Because Drake May isn't amazing right off the bat. I think you're immediately going to get a lot of those questions of, oh, what did we do here? When Daniels, I think, gives you a little bit more time to allow him to develop. I think it's really interesting. I think with all this stuff, yeah, everything you just brought up, I mean, I've kind of been, you know, thinking it's Daniels number two all along. I don't really think that there's any of that.
I wasn't going to bet this, but now the market moved in a way where I'm like, I got to bet this.
Well, and, you know, how many times have I brought up, and I'm like, it's -270 now, it's -300 now.
Right.
I think I'm going to be joining you on this bet today because I think we just listed everything that's a factor here. None of that's big enough to really take me away from the bet.
One more, and this piggybacks what you're saying is, this is not a horrible offense. This is an offense that has the incomparable Terry McLaurin as your wide receiver one. Jahan Dotson, Deami Brown, you have wideouts.
Yep.
You also have now in a backfield, and I know people say, oh, Austin Eckler, you overpaid for a third down back. Well, maybe you did, but you still have him. And you have Brian Robinson as your workhorse. So you have pieces, and you say, oh, but your offensive line stinks. Yeah, but this team has the 36th and the 40th pick in the draft as well, which they, even if they stay there, they draft an offensive tackle. But you could package those two and trade up for an offensive tackle as well, the one that you like the best in the late part of the first round, because that has contract implications. So you have it set up where if your rookie quarterback is actually good, I'm not going to say top 10, but if it's like top half of league good, you're a playoff team.
Yeah.
And then you have the prospect. What do we always say? You can only win a Super Bowl if you have a quarterback that overperforms on a rookie quarterback or is a Hall of Famer. Then in these subsequent years, because they're not a Super Bowl contender, they're a playoff contender, they're not a Super Bowl contender. But you could also then get your mind into, yeah, but in 2 or 3 years, if he's really good,
right,
maybe we are that. So I just don't. I don't get the Drake May movement at all. Don't get it.
I don't get that it's.
I get it literally by what I said at the beginning of this. Yeah. I understand why it is, but I don't. Let's put it this way.
To the level. Right.
It doesn't take a whole bunch to move NFL draft markets. But let's just put it this way. You've moved it enough now where I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I was surprised by how much it moved. That was really mine. And the third overall pick odds now. this is a crapshoot, right? I mean, we're sitting here less than 6 days away from the draft, and you're talking even money on Drake May, +115 on Daniels, and +275 on McCarthy, and I got no idea.
Well, also with the Patriots, there's some speculation, and I don't know this to be the case, but it's speculation like all speculation is, that if Daniels is the guy they really want, and they're not as high on Drake May,
right?
Do they trade out of there because they have an early second round pick?
I think they're
I want to say it's 34. They have 34. So they may very well be thinking to themselves, well, if we like Bo Nix kind of more than everybody else, maybe we can just get a quarterback at 34. So I don't know. You're right. It's a domino effect no matter what happens here.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying it all week, but I think 3, 4, 5, that they are all major trade candidates, and that's why you're seeing some of the McCarthy odds like that, right? Because that's the expectation, is that they're going to be able, Vikings going to be able to trade up somewhere in that range.
Just when I thought I was out, Kelly.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be joining you. I kind of want to see how the market reacts today during the full day with that market.
Well, after that soliloquy just now, expected spike. We'll start things with the Premier League and Paul Carr next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. We got this tweet from, by the way, Topher Barron has decided to bet some tennis, and I think it's going well for him this morning. Good for you, Topher. Hope it works out. Jason H11. When the ginger ninja puts the hand up, step back. He's talking about what I was talking about before we had this sign. Our big security was Kelly going halt. With his hand. Halt. And he called you the ginger ninja. And can I just shout you out for people who are with us every morning and see you on camera, much like I see you in person. We don't notice it because we're with you every day, because it's imperceptible. But you have lost how much weight?
About 30 pounds since middle of December.
Good for you, man.
I'd like to say thanks, but I'd also like to shout out the pharmaceutical companies out there.
Sure.
I'm on the old Wegovy right now, and it's working quite well.
I will not be seeing you like running Forrest Gump style through Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's not what's happening.
What I like to tell people is, if you watch Always Sunny with Philadelphia, if you know the scene where Mac is just injecting himself with insulin while eating a big burrito, that's kind of like me still. Like, yes, the exercise has increased. I'm eating a little better.
Yeah.
But oh boy, do drugs help, that's for sure.
Good for you, man.
Thanks. I
hope you feel better.
We were laughing about that.
do you feel better?
I've never been one of those people. Like, people lose 5 pounds and they're like, I feel so much better. I've got so much more energy. I'm like, I don't feel exactly the same.
Good for you, man.
I drink like a pot of coffee.
Keep on going, morning, as they say.
I always
got
energy, right?
You have a goal weight? You have a goal weight?
No. Yeah, a lot more.
Okay, a lot more. this man has never had a weight problem, I'm guessing. From RotoWire, it's our buddy Nick Whalen, who you can follow on Twitter, one of the great Twitter handles. It's Whalen, but he replaces the L with a 1. Senior analyst at RotoWire and a host, of course, at SiriusXM NBA, joins us to talk NBA playoffs. It's your time of year, Nick. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well, man. This is one of the best sports weekends on the calendar. I always say that. And I think you have to be pretty in the weeds in the NBA to put this on your Mount Rushmore. Obviously, there are a lot of other candidates, but that opening weekend of the playoffs, where you get 4 games back to back to back to back Saturday, same thing on Sunday. And especially this year, guys, where it doesn't feel like we have, that series that you just don't want to pay attention to, right? You know, maybe if the Bulls end up beating the Heat tonight and we get Bulls Celtics in round one, yeah, you could probably skip that one. I know a lot of people would point to Cavs Magic. Yeah, maybe it won't be the most exciting series, but I think it's going to be really competitive. We have so much parity in both conferences. So I'm really, really excited to get these playoffs going.
Yeah, to your point, I usually say, I mean, the first round is interminable. Do we really need a best of seven? But this comes to from our buddy Blake over at sportsoddshistory.com. He said this year, there are five first-round NBA series prices where the favorite is less than minus 200. Going back to 1988, the previous most was three series done seven times. We still need two more series prices, but this would be the lowest average price for the favorite for a first round on record. So there you go, wow. Quantifying it there. And obviously, he's right. We don't have two series prices. Let's start before we get to the ones that are intact. Anything in the elimination games tonight?
Yeah, I got a few spots here, and you know, I think the headliner for both games, unfortunately, is the injuries, right? No Jimmy Butler for Miami and no Zion Williamson for New Orleans. So I think that makes this a more difficult evaluation. We'll have to wait and see on Alex Caruso, who there seems to be a little bit more optimism that he'll be able to go now as opposed to 24 hours ago, but he's going to end up being a game time call. I think without Jimmy Butler, the Bulls, we have to acknowledge it. They have a real chance here, right? They looked impressive the other night against Atlanta, but I still think I would take Miami to win this game. They are 1.5-point favorites at home tonight. We have to keep in mind, Chicago shot 57% from the field the other night. They got an all-time game out of Kobe White. They had two other starters score 20-plus. They had Ayu Dosunmu have one of his best scoring and efficiency games of the entire season, and it was still a relatively close game, right? It's like if Atlanta gets a marginally better effort out of Trae Young, there's a chance that they still could have stolen that. So I do kind of look at Wednesday night as almost a best case scenario for Chicago. And now you're going up against a significantly more difficult opponent on the defensive end, especially. Miami was number two in defense over the final 15 games of the regular season. So I do think there might be a course correction coming tonight for the Chicago Bulls. On the prop side of things, I like Tyler Hero over 3.5 threes. I don't know if I'm going to take his points prop all the way up to 25.5. Obviously, he took a ton of shots the other night. You remove Jimmy Butler, you think that volume should sustain. Chicago has given up a ton of threes all season long. They've done a decent job of defending them, but in terms of volume, you know, on the year, they've been number one in the NBA in terms of three-point attempts allowed to opponents. So I like Hero over 3.5 made threes tonight. And I'm also looking at Bam Adebayo over 32.5 points plus rebounds. Wasn't good the other night against Philly, but this should be a much better matchup for Bam. He went well over this number in both of his matchups against Chicago earlier this season. He did miss two of their four games. And keep in mind, guys, these teams have not played each other somehow since mid-December. They played four times in the span of less than a month early in the year. So that there is a little bit of unfamiliarity there, I should say. And then in the Pelicans-Kings game, I still think New Orleans has a chance here. We can't completely write them off without Zion, but I think we'll know pretty early, right? We're going to know, all right, is the Zion injury just completely taking the wind out of their sails? And a lot of it's going to come down to, does Brandon Ingram look remotely like himself, which he did not the other night against the Lakers. He did not against the Lakers in game 82 of the regular season when he came back from injury. I'm staying away from Brandon Ingram props. I'm looking at Trey Murphy over 3.5 threes. You're getting that at plus 100 tonight. He's gone over this number in 12 of his last 25 games, which is pretty good for a part-time starter. And you know, you're taking Zion Williamson out of the mix. He had a 40% usage rate the other night, guys. That was his second highest in any game this season. So there will be shots available for guys like Trey Murphy. Toying with the idea of maybe buying low on CJ McCollum after that terrible game on Tuesday. You can get his points prop at 23.5 tonight. It's so tough because he looked terrible against the Lakers. But prior to that game, he'd averaged 27 points per game in his last 13. And again, you know, you take Zion Williamson out of the mix. You think some of those shots trickle down to CJ McCollum. And lastly, guys, one sneaky spot I'm looking at tonight over at DraftKings, Jonas Valanciunas double-double is plus 135. Now, if you follow the Pelicans, you know Valanciunas' minutes have been all over the place. You know, they've kind of taken him out of the rotation at times, but he played a season-high 33 minutes against Sacramento when they met just over a week ago, his most in any game this season, of course. He has a double-double in all five matchups against the Sacramento Kings this season. And as you know, the Pelicans are 5-0 in those matchups.
And the Heat, by the way, 13-9 straight up without Jimmy Butler this year, should be pointed out as well. Normally, Nick, I would go one by one through each of the six series that are intact already and that we know are starting this weekend. Four already scheduled for tomorrow and two on a Sunday. Obviously, that will be filled up on Sunday by the end of tonight. Without, in the interest of time, instead of going one by one, you tell me what your favorite ones are here, either in terms of a series price or in a game one play.
You know, in terms of series price, guys, the one that I feel like I'm starting to zag on a little bit, because everybody I talk to and listen to seems to be, you know, on the Philadelphia 76ers, I'm back at the New York Knicks in round one to win this series. It's now minus 110 either way. And, you know, I understand why Philly opened as a favorite, but do we really trust Joel Embiid? I'm not sure I do. I don't think Joel Embiid looked like himself the other night in that win over Miami. I thought he looked completely winded. He looked completely tired. That knee didn't look quite right in the second half. And even if you take that concern out of it, guys, at what point in Joel Embiid's career has he ever played remotely close to an MVP level in the postseason, right? I think it was 2 years ago, he averaged like 10 fewer points per game in the postseason compared to the regular season. I think the way that officiating has changed throughout the season, I don't think that benefits Joel Embiid. I think he's still going to get more calls than anybody, but he's not going to get the same type of calls he was when he was at his peak and healthy earlier this year. I know there's no Julius Randle for the New York Knicks. I don't know if that's that big of a deal, especially in round one. It's like, yeah, maybe that hurts their ceiling a little bit, but they've been just fine without Julius Randle, who also, by the way, has not been a very good playoff performer throughout his career. So I know everybody just wants to say, all right, Philly, they're a dangerous seven seed. They, you know, they're probably more like a two or a three seed at heart. I think the Knicks win the series, guys.
What were you just telling me off air?
That I don't think there are. I don't think there are enough people in the NBA community and even betting community making enough of what they saw out of Joel Embiid the other night. I completely agree with you. I mean, I've got 76ers futures in pocket, but I am loaded up pretty heavy on the Knicks side in game one. And maybe Joel Embiid returns, you know, gets back to form middle of the series. I could see that happening. As of right now, though, we're heading into game one. I could completely co-sign everything you just said.
Well, the other thing with Philly, guys, is they don't really have a third option, right? I mean, I guess it's supposed to be Tobias Harris, but he was terrible the other night, right? It's like D'Anthony Melton's been banged up. He's just not really a part of the mix right now. They got bailed out by Nick Batum. Like, they don't win that game unless Nick Batum plays the way he did the other night against Miami. And the Heat didn't even play well, right? It's like Philly was, I think, in a lot of ways lucky to win that game. And you can't depend on Nick Batum to be your third guy in a series like this. And, you know, the Knicks don't have a ton of depth, but I don't think that matters in the playoffs. They're really going to play six and a half guys who play really well together. So I think people are going to be surprised when the New York Knicks get off to a good start in the series.
I need a 5-second answer, Nick. Who's in the finals?
I'm going to cop out and say Denver, Boston, guys, but Dallas is the team that I'm keeping an eye on to knock them off.
That seems to be a very consensus NBA expert thought right there. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. Great seeing you, man.
Hey, anytime, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Nick Whalen from RotoWire. How about some UFL next with our own Stormy Bonnetoni? That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D, brought to you by DraftKings. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke, Frank Schwab from Yahoo on the NFL Draft, and our own Stormy Bonnetonian moments talking UFL.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but the XFL and the USFL, they got together and they said, let's merge.
I did know that. Yeah. I didn't know they were sticking with conferences, though. Like, isn't one conference the XFL conference and one the USFL conference? And you're maybe making a face now like I'm making that
up. No, you're completely right. Oh, okay, Stormy will clarify that.
That doesn't feel very unified to me, right? If you were going to unify, you shouldn't keep yourself separated like that.
Oh, very good point. We get tweets, Master of Puppets. Hey, Gil, great idea here. You let me buy into your Cleveland play. If it wins, you share the sushi spot. If it were to lose, I'll pay half your bet. Oh, I see what he did there. Steven Vegas, last year I won the same March-April bet with the Rays, who, if you recall, started 13-0. I got them at 14-1. Turned out to be fairly easy, except for the Pirates, who shockingly kept pace. This year is much more of a sweat. Let's get it. You got it, man. And then Chance Copperpot said, it's Friday morning, and I'm trying to decide what's better this weekend. Taylor Swift dropping a double album or Kelly perfectly referencing Mac on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm going with Kelly. Insulin and chimichangas, baby.
Boom. Let's go.
Kelly Bidlin down 28 LBs. And A. Brown, I envision the next. This is such a great numbers game knowledge right here. I envision the next Wegovy commercial starring an ecstatic Kelly Bidlin dancing down the strip, singing the praises of the little pill. Imagine the escalator backups filming would cause as he sashays across the pedestrian overpass. So many little nuggets in there.
Then James and Miles can tell me I'm overacting the entire time.
Ladies and gentlemen, she is the co-host of the Lombardi Line, along with the great Michael Lombardi, and of course, sideline reporter for the UFL. The world is just keeping her down. The sky is the limit, and it will happen. It's our own Stormy Bonatoni. How you doing, Stormy? Courtesy, by the way, of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing?
I appreciate you guys. This is so fun. Like, I'll just sit here and listen to you guys go back and forth. This is great.
Can we get a sense of your schedule? Do you travel every Friday to do this?
Yep. That's what I'm doing right now. Travel every Friday, or if my game is like a Sunday night, which I've had a couple of those so far, then I'll leave on Saturday. But pretty much, yeah, I do Monday through Friday on the Lombardi Line, and then I'll head out Friday afternoon, Friday evening for whatever city that I'm randomly sent to. So it's nice that I can actually get the full Monday through Friday versus college football season, where the games can be Saturday morning, let's say, and I have in-person meetings on Fridays. So then I have to come back from my Saturday game and work a 7 a.m. Sunday morning show. So this schedule is actually way easier than college football.
Wow. Just us talking here, Stormy. Nobody's listening. Do you get tired of the travel?
I think that because I have scoliosis, my back gets tired of sitting in plane seats all the time. But no, the travel itself, not at all. I actually really enjoy it. And I love that at VSiN, we have the little combination of I get to do the studio work and I get to have fun in a home base. And then I get to explore some new cities on the weekend.
All right. So let's talk some UFL. First of all, Kelly's right, right? One division is USFL and one's XFL.
Correct. Yes. Although I do think it's a little bit criminal that in the USFL conference, they still have the Houston Roughnecks instead of maintaining the USFL Houston Gamblers, considering that the UFL does prioritize that we include talking about gambling in our broadcast. And that's something that they like to use to sell the league. That just a real missed opportunity there in my brain.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But now you get to go. Gotta watch out. Gotta get a Roughneck. You know about that? What do you know about that? Nothing? Okay. But you're right. The Houston Gamblers, because they did keep Michigan Panthers and they did keep Birmingham Stallions, right? So why they decided to go different on that? That's interesting. And to what extent have you, Stormy, personally sort of nudged them towards gambling?
Honestly, I think a big reason why I was selected for the project is because they view it as something that's important and something that they want to grow and something they hope can help get more eyeballs on the product. Because obviously it's not the NFL, it's not college football, it's a different entity, it's a different thing. And they have to have their different things that they can include in the league to get more people interested and invested in it. And I love being a part of it. You guys know I geek out about it.
Yeah.
Talking about live betting opportunities throughout the broadcast is something I can honestly say I never imagined doing on a national football broadcast. But here we are, and I love every second of it. And it's been fun for me to kind of share that knowledge with a lot of the people on my crew specifically that aren't usually accustomed to that.
Okay, so for the uninitiated, we're three games into a 10-game schedule. And before we get into your thoughts on the futures market and the games this weekend, what is a rule difference between this and the NFL that a person landing on it this weekend would be like, oh, that's kind of cool?
Well, considering that the Eagles have submitted an application at the owners' meetings to have a 4th and 20 in the game instead of a converted onside kick, we have a 4th and 12. I do think that it was a little bit better personally last year when they had it be a 4th and 15. I think that the 4th and 12 is maybe a touch too easy, as we've seen two attempts so far and both of them have been successful and led to that team winning, which is interesting, right? Because these games are never really over until they're over because of that opportunity. That's one that definitely stands out. And the point after touchdown is a really big one too. They don't kick extra points. There's no PATs like that. You can go for one, you can go for 2 points, or you can go from 3 points out, which for us from a betting perspective too is really different. We don't have key numbers like we're used to seeing in the NFL. You're not like doing a teaser and you're like, I really need to get through the 7 or get through the 3. We don't have enough sample size of what those numbers might be at this point. And because the scoring structure is a little bit different, it's a little more free flowing.
I love that extra point rule. You may remember this, Kelly, from a couple years ago. Stevie Luckbach Fezzik won a bet because the team converted a 9-point, you know, play basically with a 3-point extra point. And of course, we're like, the old 9-point comeback, on the final possession. Okay, so let's go to
Hold on, guys. I lost a bet last week
because
The team that I bet in Arlington was up 10 with 2 minutes to go. The DC Defenders score. They convert a two-point conversion. They get the 4th and 12 and kick a walk-off field goal to win the game. And I lose Arlington money line by one because of that in 2 minutes. I'm losing my mind.
Do you throw a tantrum on air, Stormy? Because this is what we would tune in for. Do you throw a tantrum on air when that happens?
Fortunately, that was not my game, so I reined it in professionally for my own game. But at my hotel room the night before, yes, I was. There were a lot of expletives being thrown.
Okay, so the futures market, Birmingham, which is the only undefeated team through three games, they're 3-0. The Birmingham Stallions, they're +140. They're the short shot to win this. St. Louis Battlehawks are 2-1. They are +250. All the way down to the Roughnecks, who are 35-1. They are the long shot. Is there value here on any team?
I think that there could be a number of places. I will say this is probably the last week that you're going to see a plus money price on Birmingham. They're the two-time defending USFL champions. You mentioned 3-0 straight up ATS. All three of their games have been won by 7 or more points, two of them by 13 or more. They're just looking like a juggernaut. I joked the other day. I was like, I think they're Scottie Scheffler. Just price them at whatever because you can, because they're just going to keep winning. They're ridiculous and they've got it together. As far as like other teams on the board, I think that some of these odds are a little bit misleading. Like the Battlehawks are 2-1, but are they really that good? I don't know. AJ McCarron and that offense, when they're clicking, they're pretty solid, but defensively there's really not a whole lot there. The Defenders were the best team in the XFL a year ago and they have looked completely off. They should have lost that game to Arlington. They were outgained by like 160 yards. And I don't need to rehash what happened in the last 2 minutes, but like a lot of these teams that are at the top of the odds board, I don't have a ton of faith in really being a team that is the team to beat per se. So I have no problem looking a little bit farther down. And I know Arlington's 0-3, but 22-1, I wouldn't mind a little bit of a sprinkle on that because there's a lot of runway left here this season, honestly.
A little sprinkle. On the Arlington Renegade.
Just a sprinkle. But I mean, Birmingham, like I said, +140. I don't know how long they're going to be a plus money price because they're just going to barrel through this league.
Yeah, I was watching a bit of them last week. They have they're rolling with the old dual quarterback system, right, Stormy, of Adrian Martinez and Matt Corral on the team. I was like, hey, those are two names I recognize, and they're both pretty good. Yeah. So yeah, they look strong.
Okay.
Yeah. Adrian Martinez had like 400 total yards the other day, and then they're going to shake things up and I think start Matt Corral this week, at least based on the depth chart I saw come out. They're that good. They can just do that.
So guys we recognize playing quarterback in the UFL. All right, so let's talk about a few of the games this weekend. We have three tomorrow, one on Sunday. St. Louis, the aforementioned Battlehawks, 6.5-point favorites against the Memphis Showboats, another carryover name from past football leagues. The Stallions, 9.5-point favorites over the Defenders at home. Michigan is a 1-point favorite at San Antonio, the Brahmas of San Antonio. And then Sunday, the Renegades and the Roughnecks. Oh, something's got to give at the bottom of the UFL. The Renegades are 2.5-point favorites. Any thoughts on any of these?
I love the Renegades, as you can tell by everything that I've said throughout the course of this conversation. Those teams are both 0-3, but not created equal. So I have no problem laying the 2.5 with the Renegades there. I think the Roughnecks are the worst team in the league. I do lean the Panthers plus the one or money line in San Antonio. The Brahmas, their starting quarterback, Chase Garbers, who led the league in completion percentage, touchdown passes. He was injured last week. He's not going to be available largely the rest of the season. So I think this could be a good bounce back spot for Michigan. Birmingham's got bet up too much for me. It's opened 8 and now you just said 9.5. But guys, in the NFL postseason, I was crushing it with same game teasers. And I know that those are frowned upon, teasing totals and whatnot, but I would not hate a same game teaser in Defenders Birmingham. Bring the Stallions down and go over 40.5, whatever the number would be there. Same game teaser on Defenders and Stallions. I'm all in.
Does I would not hate mean you would bet it? Is that what that means?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But that's saying the quiet thing out loud.
Gotcha. So, totally understand. Stormy, we appreciate you making the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Have a great day.
Stormy Bonnetoni, you too. She, of course, the co-host of the Lombardi Line every weekday here at the network at 1 p.m. with Michael Lombardi. And, of course, she does the UFL sidelines. You know how I always say Ben Wilson is going to be the most famous person ever at VSiN? Stormy is already the most famous person at VSiN.
Not if he keeps golfing with Nick all day.
That's true. We'll come back. NFL Draft next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know what I do every morning, Kelly? I wake up and I go to VSiN.com just to see what's up there.
That's a great place to start your day.
Because it's beautiful. Adam Burke, who is, of course, does everything on the website, he's talking NHL playoffs first round series previews and predictions. How about that?
Skating tripod.
That's right. It's his Twitter handle. You're right. That's tripods, plural, by the way. NHL playoff betting concepts with Steve Mackinnon. So a real primer on the NHL. And, of course, the same for the NBA. First round series betting trends from Steve Mackinnon. Also JVT's thoughts. Zach Cohen on the NBA. Everybody's in on the NBA. Check it out at vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there on the website. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Billen. You know what's starting to bother me? I don't know if I've said this on the air before. Certain things with the English language. Well, first of all, let me just say this. As it's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, no one likes an English teacher. So already I've...
Well, no, please continue. Already full regret. I tweeted one out yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I don't know the difference between... And I got a couple of these responses. It's basically the elevation altitude things, right, where it's like nobody even really cares that much
cares
anymore.
No one cares.
We're like... Okay, so I'm watching RBC Heritage, and they've got a sound.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm like, well, what's the difference between a bay and a sound? And then I go and Google it, and I'm like, well, now there's four other words that I've never even heard before.
A fjord and a bite.
Yeah, that was really, yes, when I sent it to you, and I'm like,
that's great.
Like, do we really need, like, a fifth definition to the word sound?
My thing is, you know, like, people who, instead of saying supposedly, they say supposedly, or people, instead of saying forward, say forward, right? Like, stuff like that bothers me. So the latest one like that is... When did we all decide that the word important is pronounced with a D, important? Have you noticed that? Everybody pronounces it that way now. I did not get the memo. It's very important. Seriously, keep an eye out for it.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has no such English problems. He just wants to talk NFL draft with us. From Yahoo, it's Frank Schwab, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Frank?
I just want to hear you yell at the clouds more, Gil. That was impressive. Okay, boomer. I'm a boomer, but that took the cake.
I am not a boomer, just for definition's sake. I am not a boomer.
Get off his lawn, though.
That's right. I am a Larry David get off my lawn kind of guy. Okay, let us begin with, I want to start with two questions on the NFL draft. The first is the question that I ask everybody, which is, what do you think you know for sure? Let's start there.
Nothing. Like, I really like, okay, Caleb's going number one. We knew that. We went through our phase earlier this offseason where it's like, Drake May might be number one. No, it's always been Caleb. But after that, I don't even know what the Commanders do at number two. I wonder your thoughts on that, because being a Washington fan, I just wonder what you think they should do, what they will do, because you hear smoke coming out of everywhere. It's like, Drake May suddenly getting trashed. What's that all about? He's really the only quarterback, as my coworker Charles McDonald pointed out. He's the only quarterback getting any criticism this draft cycle. So I wonder if that's completely all smoke with Drake May. You hear some J.J. McCarthy stuff that Washington might have him as their quarterback too on their board. Obviously, Jaden Daniels, heck of a player. I don't know what Washington's going to do at number two. So how can I be confident about anything else? I will say the one thing I am confident with, this will set, obviously, a record for offensive players in the first round. It's 19. I think it could blow past that, too. You see 21.5 out there for offensive players. I think we could get to, like, 24. You start doing the math, 12 offensive linemen could go in the first round. I think 6 quarterbacks could go in the first round. Ooh. We all know about the receivers. One of the tight ends. Like, you just start doing the math on the offensive side, and then you start doing the math on the defensive side. You say, I think 21.5 over that, it sounds pretty good to me as far as taking the offensive players.
By the way, I started this show with a Jaden Daniels Washington Commodores talk, which is I didn't understand the betting movement. I mean, I understand the elements that created it, supposedly, right? I won't go through it again, but I bet this morning, I bet Jaden Daniels -125 to go number two, because I think in the end, the ultimate piece that most people aren't saying, which I just think is a human thing, which is, I think Adam Peters in his head, even if he doesn't say it out loud, is going to be like, if I fail here, better to fail with Jaden Daniels than to fail with Drake May.
And I agree with that. It sounds weird to say, but it's a safe pick. He's the Heisman guy. Yep. He's obviously electric. And you know what? I was on in New Orleans a few weeks ago, and I was posed the question of, why do we think Caleb Williams is that much better than Jaden Daniels? And honestly, I didn't have a great answer. Like, if you look at it, like, Caleb's awesome, obviously, but
Jaden was great last year. I mean, you talk about a guy had what 40 some touchdowns total. He can run it. He obviously makes great plays in a passing game. He's accurate. I like everything about Jaden Daniels. I think he's a very, very good player. I worry a little bit about him getting hurt. Maybe I'm shook a little bit by Anthony Richardson getting knocked out of every game. And he's more of a slender guy than Anthony, obviously. But I mean, there's that piece of it when it comes to Jaden Daniels, but as a player, there's not much to nitpick there. He is a heck of a player, heck of an athlete. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league, but you know, not all these guys are going to hit, and it's hard to, you know, pick and choose and say, oh, that guy's going to bust. You just do the best you can if you're Adam Peters. And I think the best they could do is take a Jaden Daniels number two.
Yeah. There's no talent evaluation in what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about what I think he'll do draft wise. And right. I think that's the way to go. Let's go back to what you were saying about quarterbacks though. Because I think you're right, like it's going to be a big offensive draft, certainly up at the top. But what are you hearing now? Like if I put it to you right now, I said you must decide what's going to happen, Frank, with the quarterbacks beyond May. So where does J.J. McCarthy end up? Will either Bo Nix or Michael Penix, the big thing for bettors, obviously, is that prop at 4.5 with quarterbacks. Will Penix and or Nix actually go in the first round? What's your instinct?
Absolutely, yes, because you look at the teams that need a quarterback and you have the Vikings, Broncos, and Raiders all sitting out there, right? And we all know quarterbacks going with the top three picks. Like that's going to happen. And then you get McCarthy's going to go somewhere too in the top 10, probably five. I think the Vikings move up. There's a reason they got the extra first round pick. We all know it's not a big secret. I do Vikings move up either to 4 or to 5. They get J.J. McCarthy. And then a game of chicken starts. Do the Broncos really like Bo Nix? Where does Michael Penix go? I was surprised to see the odds that Penix is now thought of ahead of Nix. I've always thought Nix would go ahead of Penix. I actually punched a ticket on that. I think Nix is just a better pro prospect. We'll see. We'll see if I'm wrong there. But I think six quarterbacks go in the first round just because of the needs, the desperation, and the fifth-year option, too. We talk about this every year. There's such a value, especially with quarterback salaries, of having that fifth-year option. If you are a team that needs a quarterback and one of those picks late in the round, Kansas City at 32, whatever, wherever we're talking about, you say, if we can move up from an early pick in a second round to the last pick of the first round, grab a quarterback, we have the fifth year of contract control we've seen with Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins. It's important to have that from a first round pick. You'd rather have that than a guy from the second, third round where you only get 4 years and then you got to play the franchise tag game. So I do think that the prop on quarterbacks goes over just because of the desperation at the position with some of these teams.
Interesting. Okay. Well, for my bet's sake, because I went under, I hope you're mistaken, but this is why I want to get different perspectives on
and
this.
And it could be, Gil, we know nothing. We all know. We know nothing about this. Like, draft surprises us every single year. I'm just leaning into the whole idea that the Broncos and Raiders, well, what are you going to do? You going to say Jared Stidham and Aiden O'Connell are starters opening day? No, you want to sell your fans on something better than that.
Handicap this for me as best as you can. So let's say Caleb Williams goes to Chicago, Jaden Daniels goes to Washington. You have New England at 3, you have Arizona at 4, and you have Los Angeles Chargers at 5, all of which have been rumored at different times by different people to consider trades, right? The Patriots, maybe they don't like Drake May, maybe they trade and they do what you just said, which is get a quarterback early second round because they have one of the top picks in the second round, obviously, too. Obviously, Arizona, who, you know, most mock drafts have them staring Marvin Harrison Jr. in the face, but maybe they're open for business. Some have said they are. Chargers, even though Jim Harbaugh out loud has said we want to start with a solid franchise offensive lineman that can be here for a decade plus. But many a mock has them trading out to a Minnesota or some other quarterback hungry team. Which of those three is the most likely, in your opinion, to stand pat? Which is the most likely to make a trade?
I think the Patriots are taking a quarterback. I don't see how you don't. Like, you got to talk yourself. I don't want to say talk yourself into because that's bad. But Drake May is a good prospect in my mind. Even J.J. McCarthy brings some things to the table. I don't know how the Patriots trade out. I know they need a lot of guys. They're very talent poor right now. But you start with a quarterback. I think I'd be shocked if they move out of 3. It could happen, I suppose. I wouldn't do it. I take a quarterback at 3 because you don't want to be on that hamster wheel forever. Where it gets interesting to me is 4. I'm sorry, I don't trade the Marvin Harrison pick. If I'm Arizona, I'm not. Yeah, you can get an extra first round pick out of Minnesota, whatever. Nope. Marvin Harrison to me is a gold jacket type of prospect. Like, I love him. I think he is as good of a receiver as I've ever seen in college. I draft him and I just, that's good. I feel great about my draft, but they could trade down. I think you're going to be enticed by that extra first round pick Minnesota's dangling out there. And then I think, why wouldn't the Chargers trade down? If it gets to a point where JJ McCarthy's out there and the Vikings and Broncos, and maybe even the Raiders are on the phone with you saying, let's trade down. The Chargers need dudes. Like, they really do. I know Joe Alt is a really, really good tackle and fits their need, but why, if you're the Chargers, would you not trade down? So I think the most likely to trade down is the Chargers. Least likely is the Patriots. And I don't know what the Cardinals are going to do, but me personally, I draft Marvin Harrison because I think he is phenomenal.
Who's the second wideout? One name answer. Second wideout drafted behind him will be?
Neighbors. I just think his playmaking is just there for him.
Okay. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Frank.
Appreciate it, guys.
NFL draft 6 days away. Next Thursday, first round. Cannot wait. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.